Well, thank you for joining me on the first of the Jeffrey Von Stetten Epic Podcast Experience. I wanted to try to just touch base with you. You know, on this, we're going to be covering a lot of different topics and things that I'm into, stuff with music, stuff with health and nutrition, holistic medicine, certain topics that just come up from now and then. And, you know, just things that I want to talk about. And, you know, this is stuff to help keep me sane. you know, for those of you that know me, you may consider that a lost cause. Maybe you don't. I don't know. Whatever. I'm trying. It's needed. Anyways, so, you know, one of the things tonight that I wanted to talk about is we're going to talk about health and nutrition. And we're going to be talking about how good intentions go wrong when good intentions go awry. And what I wanted to address with this had to do with what is a very serious topic, but I want to talk about this in a way that kind of helps bundle all of my laughter and anger and frustration and hatred and questions all together into something that's useful and helpful maybe for people that are out there and people that can kind of share my pain and share my frustrations. One of the things that I've started to really look at, and I try to not react emotionally to things as much as I can because I don't feel anything subtly. I came to that conclusion about myself a while ago. I just don't think that I feel anything subtly. Love, anger, happiness, sadness. I just don't think that I feel things at a subtle level. They are all like, wow, just cranked. And I love that. It's very romantic. I'm a very romantic person. I'm a very artistic person. I'm a very emotionally charged person. And, you know, I'll be the first one to tell you I love you. And I'll be the first one to really go off on someone when I think that there's some real injustice done. But I usually try to temper that by also having that same strength of self-control. And keep it balanced. A lot of energy just goes into rerouting and taking that energy into maintenance, if that makes any sense at all. Well, one of the things that I started to look at and really review is that I have to look at cancer, and I spend a lot of time working with a lot of nutritional ideas and nutritional medicine, holistic medicine, information, data, abstract, stuff that comes across the thing. There's a lot of things that are out there, and there's so much information that you can cover. Well, I have to really kind of look at it and think to myself, well, you know, we're closing that gap on that learning curve really fast. You know, for lots of years, there's things that could be thrown off in a quadrant, clandestine sequestering. You have ways of hiding things, bullying, obscuring things, burying them in old style media techniques. All that's dead and it's done. And we're closing the gap on all this stuff. Everybody, all of us are all learning about these things that have happened over the last couple hundreds of years. Substances that people knew over in Amazonian regions, things that were resolved up at the top of Russia, odd different little manners of treatments people stumbled across in Europe or Australia or up in Greenland or, you know, New Zealand and Peru and Chile and all these different places. There's stuff going on, but it took a while to get this all together, but we're all talking and we're talking a lot. If there's anything that this decade has proven, it's that you can share things fast. It doesn't always mean you have anything to say, but man, oh man, you can share a shitload of information fast. And, you know, one of the things that there is to share out there is we're starting to uncover so much data, and there's so many abstracts and so much information about different cancer treatments and things that actually yield really, really good results. The list is endless. And it's not just that there's one answer, it's that there's a multitude of answers for different cancers. Not everything works and fits for everyone, but there's so many different things and constantly in development that work for so many people. And it is 9 times out of 10 so much better than what you find in standard allopathic medicine. Cancer chemo is just a disgraceful failure. Like, when, and you want to really ask yourself, how did you become conditioned? where did all that begin, where you heard that word, you heard one word next to the other, you heard the word cancer, and then how do you feel that you really came across being conditioned to make the word chemo come into your mind as one of the very next things that you hear? How many years of conditioning did that take? And I want to really get you thinking about that. You know, for those of you who still have lots of the theme songs of cartoons in your head, the way that I do as a kid, all that stuff, ridiculous commercials and jingles and hymns. I don't think that we really, I shouldn't put hymns in there. There's lots of beautiful hymns, but commercial jingles and songs and, you know, little hooks that were in there that I think we didn't really have any understanding about how deep some of that information stays with people right when the television and advertising and everything started out. I bet your folks still remember some of the commercials and the theme songs and the manner in which information is disseminated and coded into your existence. We didn't quite have a grasp on the fact that, man, oh man, this stuff gets in deep and it stays. So you have to really think to yourself, okay, you know, somewhere along the lines, somebody figured that out. These TV execs, they figured that out a while ago. When you could get doctors on TV advertising cigarettes, that sold those babies like there was nothing else. I mean, you get actors and doctors and politicians talking about cigarettes, talking about menthols, talking about Camels, talking about, you know, any of that version of things about, well, this is so much better for your throat. I smoke a menthol. And it's like, oh my gosh, we look at that. It's not that long ago, you guys. That's from like the 1950s, the 1960s, 1940s. That is less than 60 years ago, 70 years ago. That's not even a full human lifespan. So you have to really ask, like, okay, so they knew the impact of that way back when. So now we all know. And then you add on things like, you know, all the different media channels, and you think, wow, dude, this is pretty saturated, cable, all the rest of that. But it came and kind of bit itself in the ass, because with the internet, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, all this data that gets uploaded and shared and eventually scanned in and all these different things, well, you know, people start to uncover stuff. So I have to really ask myself, you know, we've reached a point now where we know about all these incredible treatments that have come along that definitely help with different types of cancer, things that the Ojibwa Indians stumbled on years ago, manipulation of chi that people in China in the Eastern Rim stumbled on years and years and years ago, manners of reducing inflammation and reducing cancer in India and South America years and years ago, things like graviola. There's so much stuff. We have so many things that have contributed to good, bona fide, genuine results, and they're clinical. There's volumes of stuff. And so what happens is when you have these types of things, then you have to say to yourself, well, you have two components to it. One, you have the ignorant defender, the emotional ignorant defender that runs along with their arms flailing anytime something is helpful that's offered to someone that needs it, not knowing anything. They're completely uneducated on the subject. I would never attempt to run up to a ship captain and tell him how to fucking steer a ship, because I'm not an idiot and I'm not an asshole and I'm not a cocky freaking dick. And yet, when you try to offer something helpful to somebody that can help them get better and can help them do things, I see the flailers a lot. The flailers come running out of nowhere. Oh, what is this? I don't even, what is, well, and you ask them, are you a practitioner? Is this what you do? Are you a holistic practitioner? Are you an acupuncturist? Are you an acupressurist? Are you a nutritionist? Are you an ND? Are you an HHP? Are you, are you a dietitian? Do you have any type of practitioner's thing? Anything that just says that you're not a wacko that is emotionally reacting, running out of the woodwork, attempt with your arms flailing, attempting to supposedly protect someone that you love from someone that's trying to help them. Usually it's no. Usually it's no. They don't have any information on it. But they're, well, I don't know what this is. And yet, someone else that will tell you something that you didn't know that's infinitely more harmful. You're just more accustomed to that theater. That theater performance. Let's sit mournful outside the doctor's office. We're all going to sit here sad because we don't know what the fuck's going on. Because we don't know what's happening. Let's all do this because this is what we've seen in tons of television. This is what we've seen in pictures. This is how we do stuff. We sit in the waiting room and we keep all of our sad feelings to ourselves. Sometimes we go off like a bomb. Someone, if there's a smoker in the family, well, fuck you guys. I'm going to go out and I'm going to smoke. I'm going to smoke and show all you. I can't take this, you idiots. I'm going to go do my stuff because that's the way that I was conditioned to do this stuff. I learned this way back when. I used to watch my other family members do this, and I watched this in school, and this is how I've seen things. It doesn't help at all. It actually makes it worse, but we'll talk about that later. It's like putting on a tight pair of shoes just for the relief of taking off a tight pair of shoes. It's freaking ridiculous. But you wind up with all these conditioned behaviors that are all in play. And then the theater performance begins. The lights go low. Everyone gets quiet. Oh, you know, you have their little, usually the nurse, the little usher, where everything's going. And then the doctor enters the room. And all of life, your whole future, your existence is waiting for what words drop off of the lofty high tower of their mouth onto your life. You, defenseless, mindless, unable to find information yourself, sit in the wake of everything that's told to you, and then you all walk away. Well, sometimes that really blows, and that is, you know, not cool. I don't want to make light of it, but I want to make light of the dynamic that takes place there, because that's not how it has to be. You can listen to any, I'm all for information from any source. I'm, you know, you'll rarely get an x-ray from a holistic physician, and you're hardly ever going to get prescribed mushrooms from a doctor. And like, that's the whole thing. I'm a very Renaissance man. I look at stuff and I think, well, this is the way to go. Well, this guy's got a killer measuring stick over here. Did you see this? He can toss a picture over here and see all this shit in your organs. Look at that. You got all this stuff. This looks awesome. And I'm like, wow, this guy over here, he's got an extract that you could take that'll make that weird spot that this other guy just came up with go away. And we've got some great results. Well, but the problem is we can't get these people to hang out. They can't talk together. And then we wind up with all of the theater performance that's in the middle of how this comes out and how this all takes place. And the reason for it is because I blame the education of the allopathic community and of the places where these oncologists and where these doctors are getting their education. What is being learned and known quickly by the public is surpassing what is being taught. And then when you actually want to jump into that controversy, then what happens is most people will learn that quick little blip of, hey, this is something that helps. But what they won't grab onto is they'll say, no, this was actually done at, you know, whatever, National Cancer Institute, or this university did this study, this independent thing did this study. But the thing about it is that even if you take time to learn all of those quotes, somebody that is threatened and doesn't want to hear it will find a way to tune it out and shut you down as fast as you can. And the reason is because it's a cooler stance to be the one that calls bullshit ahead of time. That's just, you know, it's just a cooler stance. But not when it has to do with someone's life, but for the most part, that's kind of how the social norm is. So they want to be the naysayer. I don't know why. I don't think it's cooler to be the naysayer. I think it's a lot cooler to go, wow, really? Let's give it a shot. I think that sounds awesome. And that should be the attitude that it's received in. And what goes back to that is you have the way that people respond to information that makes a difference. And what my theory is that I think that we live in a modern medievalism now. I think that the climate, the culture of our society that's out there in terms of the way that helpful information is received about a lot of life-threatening illnesses, but especially with cancer, is received in the same way that the witch hunts used to do, or the way that the Catholic Church used to respond to information, like the Catholic Church with Copernicus, the scientific community, when the quote-unquote scientific community, when that, I can't remember the name of the doctor, just shared the information about hand washing, about how this disease that was killing people all over the place, they couldn't make that connection, and they would go from working in the morgue to working with cadavers to going and delivering, you know, a child, or going and doing surgery in their primitive fashion, and this disease was getting carried. And the minute that they started washing hands, the disease disappeared. That was, you know, where it came from. Well, when this was first suggested, the guy was drummed and laughed right out of the pseudo scientific community. They didn't receive that well at all. Linus Pauling, when he introduced evidence and information about how vitamin C helped with all kinds of things, everything from detoxification to killing cancer cells to helping your immune system, well, they didn't receive that guy at all. They freaking ripped him a new one and treated him like shit. They were threatened about how his non-physician status was intruding on their community. The scientific community is not scientific about anything any more than any other philosophical group or theological group. That's their belief system. When we're talking about beliefs, everybody has a belief system. It is inescapable. If you're, you know, and that's why I don't use the word, you know, the R word, the religion, because it is a word that is attempting to describe something that omits certain groups. You know, if you're an atheist, then atheism is your belief system. If you're agnostic, agnostic is your belief system. If you're Judeo-Christian, Judeo-Christian is your belief system. You know, if you're follower of Judaism, then that's your belief system. And then there's all these mixes of things all in the middle of, you know, all the polarities and the pendulums of how that swings per person and how you interpret this particular thing. And while this might be the certain norm for this, but it's over here. And theologically, you know, you can have people that will identify themselves as following a particular belief system that don't even know what that belief system says. It's like they don't even know. They don't learn things, you know. It's like people that go all thumpy and go all extra thumpy and judgmental and get all weird and don't even learn that treating people the way that you would want to be treated and loving your neighbor as you love yourself and, you know, if you've done for the least of these, you've done it for me kind of vibe, or they go down a really dark, wicked road in the name of the Lord, and you're like, wow, man, you just don't read. You don't act on what you read. So that's another, and we all fall short of God's glory. Don't get me wrong. I don't mean it like that. That was just the easiest example, you know what I mean? And there's lots of different belief systems. People say they're Buddhist, but they don't know what Buddha teaches. People, you know, stuff like that. I'm Hindu, and they don't know, you know, half of the tenets of the Upanishads or anything. People don't learn, and that's okay. That's all right. That's where everybody's all in their stuff. My point being is that, you know, when you're talking about beliefs and belief systems, you have very much solid belief systems that are always, you have new generating names in the scientific community. And the allopathic medical community is no different. They have their own culture, their own presuppositions, and we in this country opted for, at least for a while, for that version, that aspect of medicine as our norm. So, you know, and we found out what it's good for. It's good for trauma. It's good for emergency. It's good for certain types of surgery when needed. And I mean, that's kind of it. You can induce a setting, you know, and once in a while for chemicals and chemical generation with the assistance of big pharma, they're able to produce some items that can decrease pain and discomfort when needed. And that's all really good. There's nothing wrong with any of that. I'm all happy that it's all there, and I think they're all doing a good job. And you have really mild stuff like, you know, ophthalmologists and, you know, foot surgeons and, you know, everything in between. You have stuff that's really, really good. So there's things that are okay. I mean, that's fine. But not at the extreme that when you introduce something, somehow when we get to the corner of cancer and it's like, you guys are a train wreck. You're just a complete failure. The worst of the worst of anything that could be. And the reason for it is because the way that people react to information. But what I have to keep coming back to is that you know, for a little while, what we had here in this country was some of the laws and some of the ways that the things were set up were, it started getting generated, some of the verbiage, to try to help keep people from getting exploited, to try to help keep people from getting, you know, suckered by someone that's just as crooked as a hooker, and you can get things in there where you're like, okay, I mean, someone would really take advantage of someone that's sick. It's really bad. So you don't want that to happen. And that's somebody intentionally trying to exploit someone that's not feeling well. That's not cool. But, you know, that never really was meant to bother somebody that could offer something that has some legitimate good. That was never meant to harm or bother somebody that has a cure for something that's out there. And what's happened now is that we've gone so far to the other extreme, completely freaked out about this, where if you'd say that you bring something to the table and you're like, dude, this is the bomb, like a graviola extract or something, you're like, this stuff is fucking magic, this is absolutely fantastic, you know, get this to your patients, or something like some really good selenium, get this out there, this is amazing. Well, it's not received as well. And what the reason for that is because you have three parties, or four really. The affected party, the person that's trying to introduce that substance to them, the falsified and uneducated allopathic counterweight, and you have family members and friends and loved ones in between who don't know what either one group or the other group knows completely, and they all run around like a bunch of chickens with their heads cut off, attempting to rationalize how what they have to say or do is what's best for this person at the expense of really what's the truth. You know, if you are going to say, well, you know, this person here says that this is going to help a lot, and you say, well, is that true? Can we get some good results off of it? Let's check it out. I think that sounds awesome. Let's go for it. And the person that's not feeling well needs to be able very active in this decision making. Well, what's happened is that due to ego and a lack of education, all this information that's getting so easy to access, and it's getting easier to access because of need and because of conscience. Somebody comes across this, and out of good conscience, they're like, dude, this worked for us, this worked for my family, this worked for all these guys. To not share this, I mean, would make me a monster. It would make me a hideous human being. I have to get this out there. And so they start sharing it. They put stuff on YouTube. They blog about it. They tweet about it. They share it on Facebook. I guess someone's using Google Plus, like one or two people, but they're sharing it. They're doing their stuff out there. I feel bad ripping on Google Plus. It'll come along. It's got a couple perks. It's okay. Don't worry, Google Plus. You're still not as ancient and tired as MySpace. MySpace is great for musicians and artists, though, so that's where it's found its niche, and that's good, too. I'm thankful for that. One of the things that we really come across, though, is that the allopathic community now, and people that are conditioned to that, just react to new information having to do with some of these treatments and this information that's out there. It's starting to become so overwhelming that they can't tune it out, but they react to it like a witch hunt. That's my best thing. I think that we've reached a point in society where new information about anything that's a helpful cancer cure or whatever, you know, some people will be like, wow, that's awesome. I want to check it out. I want to learn more about it. I want to make sure that it checks out, which is what a good clinical mindset should say. You're like, wow, if that pans out, I think that that sounds wonderful. I can't wait to check it out and know about that. The rest of what people come across is you say, well, you know, they just react to it like a witch hunt, just like Copernicus was reacted to, like the way the Catholic Church reacted to Copernicus saying that the Earth revolved around the sun, the way that all of the doctors and physicians reacted to the guy saying that hand washing was going to end this plague and this disease that was going on, and that's how that was communicated while he was drummed out of the community and scorned and bagged on for years, even, you know, as they were right, just the way that they reacted to Linus Pauling. I think that's the way that it reacts to information that's shared now, and it seeks people to try to get that support because, and there's a gap in the education. There's a gap in what's being taught in these medical schools to these people. They're not being exposed to this. But what and we could say, you know, that's the fault of the medical institution, but I don't agree with that. That's a cause temporarily about a lack of knowledge that might be there. But they have the same, for someone that wants to learn, that wants to check it out, that wants to research, do all this stuff, find good answers, continue their education, you know, to go on and learn all this stuff. There's no excuse for them to not look at all the rest of this information. And the thing is that advanced physicians, people that are doctors, that did all the graduate and then continued to work, now they're carrying on that torch. There's hundreds of them that are doing incredible work. Dr. Mizami, Dr. Ramsey, there's Dr. Rogers, there's the continued work of the Gerson Institute. There's tons of them, and they're all getting a phenomenal results. And this doesn't cover anything with all of the physicians in Japan. And, you know, doctors bag on what other doctors do. They don't have any respect. They don't give a shit. They'll talk smack about a Japanese doctor, and a Japanese doctor will talk smack about a British doctor. A British doctor will talk smack about findings that somebody got in North America. I mean, they all talk smack about each other, and these are all doctors. Doctor, doctor, doctor. So if you're someone conditioned to walk in and let your entire life wait in the balance of the words that drop from the great theater performance of a doctor, well, you know, it's going to depend what room you're standing in, where one room means, you know, one doctor is going to say one thing, and another doctor is going to say another, and then another doctor is going to say another, and it's all going to drop, and your whole life will be mayhem because you haven't educated yourself and learned about this subject instead of taking it all with a grain of salt and then learning. And as far as I'm concerned, these doctors that are out here that don't educate themselves, that don't further their education and learn about all these treatments, are just butchers. I think that they're sending people down a dark, dark road. They'll rationalize that, well, they're just doing their best. And some of the laws that are in place interfere in them being able to do it. They have to show on their records that they've referred out to one of a host of whatever treatments so that they can't be sued for malpractice and lose their license. But there's nothing from them saying, well, on the books, I'd say your choices are blah, 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 blah. Off the books, I think there's better choices, and that's because they should have a conscience, and that's because more so than anything else, they swore a Hippocratic oath to harm none. And that's what they're supposed to be doing. That's what they're supposed to be checking out, and that's supposed to be their big, you know, oath that they swore. So if they want to abide by their oath, they need to really rethink their life and say, okay, that's it. Now, you know, you want to get this in here and say and recognize that this is also going to come with people who are struggling with their egos. they're struggling about the resentment for the $200,000 worth of school debt that they just accumulated. They're struggling with their own sense of right and wrong about what it is that they will or won't say, struggling with the practice that they do or don't work in, struggling with their own conscience on what they feel is acceptable to suggest, all this stuff, and struggling with how valid they feel information coming across to them is and isn't. But one of the things that you want to really look at is saying, hey, this is something that could make a difference. Now, I think that when you hear news saying something could definitely improve a disease or an illness, especially a life-threatening disease or illness, your first reaction should be, wow, hot damn, I hope that pans out. I hope that this sounds cool. I'm really stoked. I'm going to try to curb my enthusiasm a little bit because it's depressing to get disappointed or to get jerked around. So I'm going to try to keep it in check a little bit. But you know what? That's what you really need to do. And, I think that that is the right way to be. You need to really try and say, hey, you know, this is potentially great information. I'm so excited. I can't wait. And that's what we need to do. So my theory is, you know, that I'm, and what I think that's going on out there is just that the allopathic community and people with shockwaves or, you know, or the pendulum of some of their beliefs and thoughts and cultures and indoctrination and conditioned responses from media and their culture, their, you know, quotes and phrases and memes that their families imprinted on their manner of reasoning, which is not logic. That's not logical. Logic starts at a point, it works through a point, and it ends a point. That's just a lot of reaction and energy and, you know, emotionally charged stuff. I think that's how people wind up with some of the situations that they do on these you know, situations. And so that's what we have. We have the allopathic community that's decided they're on a witch hunt. I think that's pretty much how it is. There's just, right now, we've reached a state of disgraceful and disingenuous modern medievalism that reacts to cancer killing and cancer controlling and life-saving information about cancer like people on a witch hunt. You show anything that offers any kind of cool stuff and they'll tune out research, they'll tune out personal testimony, they tune out historical data for things that, you know, if it's an herb or something or a bark that's been used for hundreds of years. Nope, screw it, we didn't find it out, so all of your family and your family's families and everybody that's used this successfully for hundreds of years, you're all liars, you're all a bunch of fuckers trying to screw me over with false information, go to hell, me and my white jacket and my stethoscope are going to walk away over here where it's clean and we can sit with the clipboard and our fluorescent lights far, far away from you fucking heathens and you bohemian derelict, you know, liars. That's the way that people react to stuff. That's the way that they'll come across this. And, you know, and I think that, and I love the word bohemian. That's particularly offensive. I consider myself of that mentality probably, but I think that's the way that I see the community reacting, which is not scientific. It is not logical. It is not reasonable. They react just as emotionally as people on a witch hunt. They react the same as, you know, the medieval medical community, if you want to call it that, reacted to the guy that suggested and brought the importance of hand washing before surgery and everything to light. They're the same ones. They reacted the same way that they did to Linus Pauling, and that they reacted the same way that, you know, the Catholic Church did to Copernicus. It's just this, you know, they're on a witch hunt. They're on a witch hunt for this stuff. So, you know, I think that that's what's really got to change. It's a culture and the climate of this. And you have to start saying, now, wait a minute, which, next time somebody reacts to that, you say, now, which research about this particular substance I talked about do you disagree with? What is it that you disagree with on this? You say, well, you just found out that I just said that I think propolis there's wonderful information on propolis being incredibly anti-cancer and that it's very helpful, and they say, oh, you know, where'd you get that idea? And you go, no. I said that there is tons of good data that suggests that this is very helpful. Which abstract did you disagree with? Which research batch did you disagree with? Is it what Harvard said? Was it what this university said? Is it the abstract presented by this physician that you disagree with? And if so, what portion and why? And please explain that to me so I can help understand where you're coming from. You might have something on this that I missed and I'm interested in learning. But if you're not interested in sharing it and you can't discuss it at that level, then you've got no business having a tantrum about it and reacting really weird. So I think that's part of what we all have to embrace and to learn, that we have a society and we have a state when it comes to cancer research and comes to cancer treatment of modern medievalism and people on witch hunts. We have doctors on witch hunts. And you really need to kind of prepare yourself and let that sink in for what's out there, because, you know, there's tons of data. They're losing. They've already lost this war completely. I don't want to say war, but I mean, they've lost that stance already. It's overwhelming, all these different versions and different treatments, and it's not one treatment. There's several different paths that seem to help with several different types of cancer. Some of the most serious ones that are out there, and you know, there's lots of good info. So just know that we've got doctors on witch hunts, and I think that that's where we need to really kind of brace ourselves and say, listen, this is something that we need to address and that they need to own up to, and they need to have some accountability for. And in doing so, we'll help to change the insurance guidelines. In doing so, we'll help to change the laws on what an acceptable referral is within the U.S. In doing so, we'll help to save millions and millions and millions of people's lives, and we'll be able to stop just a world full of unnecessary tears and unhappiness and shadows and sad faces and empty chairs at empty tables that we all wish had the people that we love there with us. That's what we're fighting for. Let's keep as many faces at the table as we can. Life sucks enough without the people that you love. Let's try to make it suck a little bit less, and let's try to make this be a wonderful, wonderful life by helping to know what's going on out there, what we're facing, what the dynamics of it are, and let's make things better, and let's know that. Let's know that that's going on, and take it on and move forward so we can help take our whole group in this wonderful planet of ours to the next level and help this all to be shared a little bit better. And that's what we have to do. So just watch out for doctors on witch hunts. And until we meet again, thanks for your time and thanks for joining me on this awesome podcast experience. I'll talk to you soon.